Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated. God, you are forever increasing. I am forever decreasing. To you alone be all the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, Harvest Church. How are we this Sunday afternoon? And highly favored. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. It's always a privilege to bring the Word of God. It is nothing to do with man, but everything to do with God. Amen. Hallelujah. It is nothing to do with man, but everything to do with God. This afternoon, I want to share with you the title of my message is, Are You Protecting Your Identity in Christ? Are you protecting your identity in Christ? Brother Charles, it's good to have you around with us. Welcome back from Ghana. Akwaba. Hallelujah. Are you protecting your identity in Christ? I think it was Aaron's son. He had a t-shirt on this morning, and it says, Jesus is the game changer. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, Jesus is the identity changer. It is God that gives us a new identity in Christ. You know, one of the greatest problems that we have in the world today is that of identity theft. It's a big problem. And banks are struggling to cope. You know, every single time you're coming up with new technology to try and, you know, reduce the incidences of identity theft. But you know that there is one who is able to steal an identity that is far more greater than the identity that you have in this world. And his name is Satan. We have a physical identity. I mean, like, when you see me, you recognize me as Stokey, isn't it? You know me straight away. But there's something that we have, that God has given us when we come to a knowledge and understanding of him, and that is his identity. And the devil is always out to steal that identity. You know, a long time ago, I think it was about probably over 10 years ago, it was the day before my birthday. I remember very well the night before my birthday. And I think I went to buy, put some petrol in the car. And after filling up, I went to pay. I gave them my card. And the guy, you know, for a while tried to run the thing through. And I saw a very worried look on his face. And he said, sorry, it's not going through. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I know I have money in the account. I said, no, it's not going through. I said, okay, no problem. Maybe your machine has a problem. You know, I'll go down the road. I leave my car, go down the road to the cash point and get some money out. Lo and behold, I went to the cash point. It wouldn't allow me to get money out. In fact, I think it seized my card. I said, what on earth is happening? You know, my birthday is just a few hours from now. And I'm thinking, what is the enemy trying to do here? I mean, at that point in time, I didn't even know what was going on. And so the following morning, I called my bank. And I said, you know, I tried to make this transaction yesterday night. It didn't go through. I went to the cash point. I couldn't get any money out. And they said, excuse me? Have you been to Spain? Have you been to Germany? I said, what are you talking about? No, I haven't traveled recently. He said, well, we can see that your card has been used in Germany, your card has been used in France, and that's why we're asking you the question. I said, I haven't left England. And over £2,000 had gone out of the account. And I said, Lord, devil, you won't spoil my birthday. This was on my birthday. I had to go to the police station on my birthday, you know, to get a report and all sorts of things. But you know what? If the enemy steals my identity in terms of who I am, in terms of my bank details, it's still nothing to me. What I want to guard the most is the enemy stealing my identity in Christ. Because the devil is always out to do that. His plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we all have to be alert to the devices of the enemy. And that is why today I said the title of my message is, Are You Protecting Your Identity in Christ? That's a very big question. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, and we'll read from verse 1. Genesis 3. I remember I said that the devil is always out to rob us of identity. That is one of his game plans. The Bible says in Genesis 3, and verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every fruit of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent said, verse 4, You will not surely die. Can you turn back just one page with me to Genesis 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. What did the devil say? You will not surely die. Now, who is the liar? Hallelujah. He's the father of all lies. He's been lying from day one. He is the one who's the first lie that is recorded in the Bible is the enemy, is the devil. God says, of course we know God was not talking about physical death. He was talking about separation from God. It was a spiritual thing. You see, 419ers or fraudsters can steal your bank details, your identity, but the one that we should, you know, watch out for the most is the one who can steal our identity in Christ. Amen? Amen? You see, at that point in time, the only Bible that Adam and Eve had, that's the way I've put it, the only instruction that they had from God was that which we've just read in Genesis 2:16. That was the only instruction at that point in time that they had. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's the only scripture they had. And what does the enemy come to do? He comes to distort the word of God. If you are not grounded in the word of God, the enemy will do everything to steal your identity in Christ. We need to be people who study the word of God to show ourselves approved. Because the enemy is not after our good. We all know that. He's always after our downfall. And therefore, Adam and Eve, they fell. They lost what God has placed. You know, God said, He said, when He created man, He said, let us create man in our own image. And then the devil goes and tells Eve, you will be like God. Yeah, well, God did not create Adam and Eve to be like God. He said, God had already established that identity, you know. He said, we have been created in his image. And so the enemy comes and wants to distort because he wants Adam and Eve to lose their identity in Christ, in God. And that is what happened, unfortunately. But you see, if the devil can do the same to Jesus Christ, as we'll see in a minute, who am I? Or who are you that he will not attempt to do the same or try and do the same with you? Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew 3. And Matthew 3, we read from 16. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God had given Jesus Christ his identity. You are my beloved Son. That was Jesus Christ's identity. Okay, let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Can you see the way the enemy comes? God said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. End of story. The devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God. Can you see how subtle the devil can be? God had already given Jesus Christ his identity. You are my beloved Son. And the devil comes and says, if you are, command these stones to become bread. How did Jesus deal with this? With the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. When the enemy comes, we have to be ready. The enemy will always come, you know, to try and steal our identity in Christ. So how are you going to protect your identity in Christ? One way is knowing who you are in Christ. You know, we always sing that song. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. Do we really know who God says we are? Because there are times when things happen and we tend to doubt who we are in Christ. It's good to sing on Sunday, I know who I am. You know, I know who God says I am. But when it comes down, you know, to the nitty-gritty, are we standing? Are we holding on to the identity that God has given us as children of God? Hallelujah. To protect our identity in Christ, we have to know and be able to apply the word of God. Hallelujah. The devil will purposely distort the word of God to rob us of identity. And that's what we just talked about when he said, has God indeed said? Yes, God said, you should not eat of this particular tree. God has set us apart. We are in the world, but not of the world. And you know, I love when Marilyn was sharing with us earlier on, you know, she said, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and Great Britain, you know, the world. But you see, we are in the world, but not of the world. That is, you know, a big demarcation between those in the world and we as children of God. Amen? God has given us an identity that marks us out, that, you know, makes us different from the world. Hallelujah. Genesis 24. You know, God went to great lengths to give us our identity. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." Why did Abraham say that? Because God had established, God had given him an identity. But he knew that for him to protect that identity, his children and children's children must marry within the Hebrew population, not from the Canaanites. Because the moment that happens, you are losing your identity. God called them to be his people. He called the Israelites to be his people. And as we'll see later on, when that identity is threatened, because from the children of Jacob started marrying the Canaanites, and we'll see that in a minute. Let's go to Genesis 46. Genesis 46 and verse 33 and 34. Okay, so it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now. Both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Okay, let's go to 47, 3 and 4. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." God used the racial and ethnic prejudice of the Egyptians as a way of preserving the ethnic and spiritual identity of his own people. God made sure that he separated the children of Israel from the Egyptians so that they could keep their identity. And so, it tells us how God views that identity that he has given to us. Are we holding on to our identity in Christ? Are we protecting it as we ought to? We'll see very soon how God takes, you know, that identity that he has given to us, which he gave to the children of Israel before us who are believers now. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 48. "And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let them come near and keep it, and he shall be a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat of it." Okay? Hang on to that. Exodus 4, 24. Exodus 4, 24. "And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." And this is Moses. "Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, "Surely you are a husband of blood to me." And so he let him go. That's God. Let Moses go. Then she said, "You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision." Remember what we read in Exodus 4, talking about God said, you know, for these people to participate in the Passover, they need to be circumcised. One thing that God used to separate the children of Israel that gave him the identity was circumcision. And here we see, I was sharing with those at the Funnies on Wednesday, as one of the prayer points one of the things we prayed for, but then we were looking at it from a different angle then. I was looking at it then as, you know, Moses wanting to abort his calling. God had called him to go and deliver the children of Israel. And here the Bible says, let's go back to Exodus 4 and 24. Exodus 4, 24. "And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." And I was sharing with the people on Wednesday. I said, sometimes when you see some things in the Bible, you need to do some extra study. This is the man God was sending to Egypt to set his people free. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass on the way to going to set the people free that God sought to kill him." Why? Moses had two sons, Gershom and Elisha. Moses married a Midianite. And I found out that the Midianites also circumcised their male children, but they did it just before before their wedding. They were adults, but they did it. Now, I don't know, that to me that circumcised that's a difficult thing, you know, especially when it had to be done in this case by the mom. Ouch. Hallelujah. But let's get the point here. The Bible says, that's Exodus 4. I want to bring something out here. It says in verse 24 that God sought to kill Moses. Why? Why? Because when you look at verse 20, the Lord says, the Bible says, "Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt." So, confirmed, Moses had two sons, Gershom and Elisha. You can read that in the Bible. But then, when we go to verse 25, "Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son." What happened? I believe that Moses obviously had circumcised one of his children. The other was not circumcised. Why? His wife was a Midianite. And obviously he wanted, in a way, just to pacify her. You know what? Okay, we'll circumcise one. The other one will live until is just about to get married, according to your custom, because you are my wife, you know, we'll let that happen. And God was going to kill him. Because when God gives you an identity, you can't change it. And that's why Moses almost lost, you know, the fact that God had called him to bring his children out of Israel. He had two sons. The Bible, categorically, the Bible says she circumcised her son, which also shows that the Midianites knew about circumcision, because it wasn't Moses that circumcised him. It was a woman. It was the wife. It was Zipporah that circumcised the son. And that tells us how God values, you know, that identity that he has given to us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, as believers, we need to guard our identity in Christ jealously. Hallelujah. We do this by being grounded, like I said earlier on, in the Word. And also, for me, I think our confession as well. What we confess, you know, every single day, I make that confession. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every single day, I make that confession because I need to reaffirm my identity in Christ. When the devil comes with his own tactics, I know what I have to say to put him at bay. Jesus used the word of God to put the devil, you know, at bay when he came for him. We have to use the same. We have to use the word of God. What are you confessing? What are you standing on? What is your identity in Christ? Christ says, we are overcomers. So you can use that and say, look, devil, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. You can't do this. No, devil. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What is the purpose of our identity? What is the purpose of our identity? Exodus 19. We're going to see, you know, the purpose of God giving the children of Israel an identity, and then we'll see as it applies to us as well today. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. That's God speaking to Moses. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was God's purpose for the children of Israel. That was the identity he gave them. That, you know what? I am separating you from the world because I want you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But as we all know, Israel failed woefully. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that he came, he died, and he resurrected so that you and I can be priests of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Let's look at and see how this, you know, fits in with 1 Peter 2, 9, 11. Here God says, I want you to be my priest and a holy nation. What is God calling us to today? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Again, a holy nation. So God has given to us that which the children of Israel could not fulfill. Because God said to them, I want you to be a holy nation and I want you to be my priests. But they failed woefully. God is calling us today. He says, you are. You know, he said, you are. Not that you will be. You already are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people. That's what God calls us. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the purpose of our identity in Christ. That we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we are children of God. God has transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into his own light. We no longer live according to the dictates of the world. We live according, you know, to the things that God has set for us to accomplish in his kingdom. We live according to the principles of the kingdom of God. Amen? How do I know? 1 John 3. Quickly, let's turn to 1 John 3. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. You're doing a great job. I know I've given you so many scriptures today. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. God has called us to a life of purity. It says, because he calls us his children, He has given us that identity, then he expects us to be like him. Amen? Every single day, as believers, we're striving more to be more like him. That is our desire. That should be our goal as believers. Okay? John 1:12. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. God calls us his children. He has given us that identity. No one can take that identity away from us. You know, if you work in an organization, and so many organizations will probably have identity cards. They give you an ID card. Now, what qualifies you to have that ID card? You've gone for an interview. They like you. They like what you've said. You know, you've got your qualifications. And they say, okay, we'll take you on board. But then you're going to have an ID, because every time you come in, you've got to present this ID before you can come in. Am I right? Okay. If God has called us his children, then that means there is an expectation. God expects us to behave in a certain way. If you go to work without your ID card, would you be allowed in? Maybe you might be allowed in because they already know you. But assuming that you don't work there, and you want to get into that place of work, and you don't have an ID card, would you be allowed in? No. Okay? So you get my point. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you getting something this afternoon? Yes. Hallelujah. What puts our identity in Christ at risk? What is it that puts our identity in Christ at risk? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, all things are past. Behold, everything becomes new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus Christ is the giver of a new identity. Your old self is gone. When you give your life to Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have put an end to your old self. All things become new. You receive a new identity in Christ. Hallelujah. When I was in the world, I had friends. I still have them. Obviously, they could recognize me when I was in the world as Toki. Now, I am no longer in the world. When they still see me, I'm still Toki, isn't it? So what has changed? My spiritual identity has changed. I'm still the same Toki. They can identify me by recognizing me. I'm still the same Toki, but my spiritual identity has changed. I am no longer the person I used to be then. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his goodness. If it were not for God, where would I have been? Where would I be today? I can tell you, it is the hand of God that watches over us. When I was in the world, the things that I used to do, I do no more. You know, there's one Nigerian singer. Bless him, he's going to be with the Lord now. His name is Sonny Okosu. You know, he was a musician, and he gave his life to Christ before he died. So, and he has this song, it's a very funny song, you know. All the things I used to do, I do them no more. He said, all the bad things I used to do, I do them no more. All the bad things I used to smoke, I smoke them no more. And we know what he used to smoke then, because we could see it from his eyes. You know, but thank God that he gave his life to Christ. You know, in those days when I just gave my life to Christ, we had a friend. He wasn't a believer, but he was a very good friend of ours. And it was like we had one leg in the world and one leg in the kingdom. And there was one day he said something. I will never forget what he said to those of us who had given our lives to Christ. You know, he looked at, we were at a party one day, and he said, you know what? If you want to boogie, let's boogie. If you want to praise Jah, praise Jah. That is, you cannot have one leg in the kingdom and one leg in the world. This is someone who hadn't given his life. He looked at us and said, these guys are still doing what I'm doing. He said, you know, if you want to boogie, boogie. If you want to praise God, praise God. You know, you can't do the two together. You either praise God or you boogie. And that really, really hit, you know, hit a lot of us and said, this guy is saying, you know, he said, I remember when he didn't say God. He said, Jah. If you want to praise Jah, praise Jah. You know, and that really sunk in. And God is saying to us, you know, he has called us as his children. There is something, there is a level of expectation. You know, God expects us to behave in a certain way because he has his identity on us. You know, remember what we said, the story. God was going to kill Moses because you know, he was going to do something that will taint that identity that God had given them. Thank God, God was not going to kill us. But God expects us, you know, to be of a certain standard. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. You know, in the kingdom of God, you cannot have dual citizenship. I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of Nigeria. I'm also a British citizen. But in the kingdom of God, you know, and when I travel to Nigeria, I use, and it's perfectly legal. I go with two passports, my Nigerian passport, my British passport. When I'm leaving Britain, I give them my British passport. When I get to Nigeria, I give them my Nigerian passport, both of them together. It's legal. Britain and Nigeria, they allow dual citizenship. But the kingdom of God does not allow dual citizenship. You are either in the world or in God's kingdom. You cannot be in both places at the same time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for his kingdom. No dual citizenship. You're either in or out. Hallelujah. God is good. Do not allow the devil to give you an identity crisis, because that is something else that happens to people. You know, God says that you have been created in his image. The other day, I was watching a documentary, and this lady said, you know, it was a documentary about orangutans that, you know, they've lost their parents. And they were, you know, kind of trying to get them, you know, to do the things that orangutans would do normally, and to get them gradually ease them back into the jungle. And she said something like, "Oh, distant cousins." And I immediately said, "Your distant cousin, not my distant." You know, the thing is, when they want to say something, let them just refer to. Let them say my distant cousin, not our distant. My or an orangutan is not my cousin. Because I know that I was created by God. I did not evolve. You did not evolve. So how can someone call an orangutan my distant cousin? That's an insult. You know? That is an insult. Because in God, we do not have an identity crisis. Those who believe in evolution, that they have a problem. How can you? You know, God says you have been created in my image. You have been wonderfully and fearfully made. And then someone is coming and telling and saying, orangutan is our distant cousin. God forbid bad thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gives us an identity before he gives us a job to do. When God called Abraham, it was Abraham, and God changed his name to Abraham. Says you are going to be a father of many nations. That was before Abraham had any child. So God gave him that identity before he even had a child. You are going to be a father of many nations. When God called Gideon, and God was going to send him out, you know, to lead the children of Israel against the Midianites. He was going to go to war against the Midianites. God said, mighty man of valor before he even stepped out. God gives us identity before he gives us the task. In the world, it is the other way around. Tell me, can you call yourself a medical doctor, an engineer before you get your certificate? Before you go, no, you can. They think you're crazy. Say, so, I'm an engineer. And so where did you study? I haven't studied yet. So, but God calls you. He calls you before you get that qualification. God says, you are. And so, let the devil know where he belongs. Put the devil in his place all the time. Because God has given you an identity. Hallelujah. How do we protect our identity in Christ? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 from verse 1. Thank you. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What is Harvest Church known for? But above all these other things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let love be one of the key things that identifies you with Christ. Let it be the key thing that identifies us with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you because you are God. We thank you because you are from everlasting to everlasting. Of your kingdom, there is no end. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever you will be the same. Father, we thank you that you have called us your sons and daughters. We are children of the Most High God. You have given us that identity. You have given us that identity. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you have given us the right to be called children of the Most High God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. Father, we do not take that identity for granted. Lord, we thank you because you have given us that identity for a reason. He said, we are a chosen generation because you want us to show forth your excellence in this world. And Father, we thank you that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Father, may we never lose our identity in you. When the enemy comes and wants to rob us of our identity, Lord, may we be able to declare your word over every situation and every circumstance that the enemy will bring our way. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here this afternoon and you don't have that identity in Christ, you've never, ever acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that when the trumpet sounds, you may not or you will not be found in Him. If you want that identity in Christ, if you want to put aside the old identity and take hold of an everlasting identity which comes from acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this afternoon and you say, yes, that's me. While all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I'd like you to lift your hands so we can pray with you. You're saying you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that this week we will go out holding our identity card in Christ Jesus, declaring to the world that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Showing forth your kindness, your love to a dying generation. We give you praise. We give you glory. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a big round of applause.